You've heard me talk about CTC Math for some time now, but have you tried it out yet? CTC Math provides online video tutorials that make learning math easy and effective. This online math program uses creative graphics and animation that are sure to grab and keep your child's attention. Start your free trial today by visiting ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am back with Misty Bailey from Joyfully Homeschooling, and we are talking about how to deal with the naysayers in our lives. And we had a great conversation about that on Monday. And so today we're going to kind of tie that into the importance of cultivating friendships with other homeschool moms and homeschool communities. So I am so glad if you've not, I'm glad to have Misty back. If you've not yet listened to that first part of the podcast, go back and listen to that. Misty, thank you for joining me again today. I'm glad to have you back.
Yes, me too. I'm excited to be here.
Yes. Well, we had a great conversation about just how to respond to those people. And you gave some really good points on just how to deal with those in our lives who maybe are not on board with homeschooling. And we won't go through all of them again because we just talked about those in part one. But one of the things that we have talked about is that it's so important to have friendships with people who are like-minded, other homeschool moms, being part of a homeschool community, and just having that support, because especially if you don't have the support of your family, but even if you do, we really need to work to cultivate mom friendships and homeschool mom friendships if we are homeschool moms, and because that's really kind of what fills us up. It's what I know for myself, what keeps me going is being able to talk to my friends and bounce ideas off of them. And when I'm having a hard day, just saying, please pray for me. We're having a rough day today. And them being able to do the same with me. So I would love for you to talk, Misty, about that and just how you have gone about cultivating those friendships in your 10 years of homeschooling.
Yeah. So when I first started homeschooling, like I said in the last part, I had no family support whatsoever. And actually at that time, I really only knew one other homeschool mom. And at the time, it was crazy because I felt like her kids were so much older than mine. And they were, I think, third and fourth, or they were young, but my kids were preschool age. So I felt like she was homeschooling these older kids. And she went to my church, and her name is Jamie Brown. And she was my homeschool mentor. And honestly, she really took me under her wing. She introduced me at the time to four other moms, and they had all started homeschooling together. They had kind of raised their kids together and done these get togethers once or twice a month. And she invited me alongside them. And, again, they all had kids older than mine. And, she really helped me. And I think that without her, I would not have kept on homeschooling. Because she would tell me, she told me, she's like, your first couple of years, it's going to be hard. You're going to cry. This is what you can do. And really, if I texted her or asked her any questions at all, she would help me, her and the other moms in her community. And I saw the relationships they had within each other and the relationships their kids all had within each other. And it gave me hope. It encouraged me. It helped me to realize that, I could do this. And my kids, there was some, I don't forget what you called it, but, the proof was in the pudding, I think is what you'd said.
Right.
And, it helped me to see that because these kids were older than mine. And, some of them had junior high and high school kids. And, it really helped encourage me that, I could keep doing this, and gave me hope for my kids and for our ability to homeschool. So I think that right there is really what helped me go ahead and jump in and do it and feel like I could. But I then also decided, okay, Jamie was this to me. I want to then be this mentor to other moms, which is really kind of what helped me start my blog and my podcast. But in addition to that, I started a homeschool group in our community. There were two or three other moms who had younger kids like my kids, preschool, kindergarten age. And we started getting together and started kind of forming our own group about a year after I started homeschooling. And, you know, our kids have grown up together, and that little group of just, you know, three or four moms has now turned into, we had 80 kids in our co-op last fall. And, you know, it really helped start something in our community. And, you know, we started doing field trips and just different things like that. And those moms really have been the ones who have helped me continue to homeschool. They're the ones, you know, that we call them, we text each other, we hold each other accountable. They're the people who help encourage us. You know, we all encourage each other, you know, when we're having those hard days. And that community feel, those community relationships, I think are so important in the homeschool community. And too often times we don't realize how important they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it is so very important to have those relationships. And even, you know, it's fun to see like field trips going on and mm-hmm. just being able to do life together. I know that where we are in Georgia right now, there's a great community of homeschool families who just do things together, you know, and it kind of, you know, the younger kids do things together. They've got a high school kind of section of the group that does things together. But even simple things like one of the groups a while back, they had I forget what they called it, but like a curriculum, I don't know, a display group, not to sell your curriculum, but they said, everyone bring your favorite curriculum. Mm-hmm. We're going to meet at the park, let the kids play, and then be able to look at what other people are doing. And then we got to, you know, we weren't there to sell anything or do anything. It was just, you know, there's always the question every year of what do you do for history? What do you do for science? Mm-hmm. What do you do for language arts? And so it was so great to be able to go and just say, oh, you use, you know, this IEW. What do you think of it? I've never used this. I was thinking mm-hmm. about this. And you get to open it and feel it and talk to the mom who used it this year, doing things like that. You know, we have another, our big support group does a curriculum sale. And so a couple of weeks ago, we actually had this huge book sale where everyone went and sold their used curriculum or stuff that they weren't using anymore. And I got some amazing deals. As a matter of fact, I have to tell you, I was so excited. I felt like I had won the lottery. There's a free table there for people who just didn't want to worry about about selling it. They just want to get it off their hands. And someone had an entire box set of McGuffey readers.
Oh, the old ones?
Yes.
Like the little house. Oh.
Yes, for free. And I was so excited about these. And so I brought them home and we watched Little House on the Prairie from time to time. You know, it's just one of those fun little shows that, and secretly I want to be Laura Ingalls Wilder. Though I do want electricity.
My kids like Mary Carrie and Laura.
Right? Yeah. Right? Yes, yes, yes. I do want to have electricity, but sometimes I want the simple life. Yeah. I don't want to have to bathe in a tub either, you know, that's used by everyone in the family. But, you know, anyway, for those who have not read the Little House series, you must read it because it's amazing.
Oh, yes.
But anyway, it was just so exciting to get those books. And then we came home and I gave them to my daughter and my 9-year-old. And she was like, these are the ones they use on Little House on the Prairie. And mm-hmm. that Laura Ingalls Wilder actually read when she was a kid. And so she started reading them and she thought it was fun.
Gosh,
and you know what? I'm totally rabbit trailing. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm just going to say they're amazing because these McGuffey readers, they were written in the 1800s. And guess what they talk about? They talk about God and they mm-hmm. have scripture in them and they talk about character and virtue. And it's amazing. And I'm like, this is what school should have been. Mm-hmm. This is what it used to be.
What it used to be. Mm-hmm.
And this is how it should be today. But we've, of course, taken all of that out of the public school system. And that's why we have what we have today. And if you want to know more about why our kids should not be salt and light, go back and listen to Misty Bailey's episode from Schoolhouse Rocked from December, which we will link in these show notes. Anyway, that was a ridiculous rabbit trail. But all that to say, yes, it is so important to have support groups, to have community around us to help us navigate through these years of home education and figuring out what we're doing. But let's take a quick break and we'll be right back and talk more about that. Does it feel like you spend more time searching for educational videos than watching them? Are you looking for educational games and activity books? Do you need some virtual field trips to supplement your studies? Then Homeschool History is for you. Homeschool History is a new online resource from the team at Knotgrass History. You can use your phone, tablet, or computer to find history-related videos, games, websites, field trips, and more. Visit homeschoolhistory.com to start your free trial today.
Hey guys, this is Brooklyn Hampton. Have you left a review for the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast yet? If you haven't, then pause the show right now and go do it. Don't worry, I'll wait. Have you done it yet? Great. Then back to the show.
We are back with Misty, and we're talking about cultivating friendships in the homeschool community. I want you to give some really practical advice on how moms can do that, because I know it's really hard, especially for those moms who are brand new to homeschooling. They maybe feel like, I don't understand homeschooling. I don't get all the homeschool, you know, lingo, all those things, and trying to figure out, like, how do I fit into this homeschooling world? What advice can you give to those moms?
Yeah, well, I think that for us, one thing that really helped with getting together with other homeschool moms is, like, you know, when we first started, like I said, there was just two or three with our particular group right here. And then, you know, moms kind of, so-and-so said, hey, you know, so-and-so homeschools. So they would kind of connect with us. And I think that just talking to other people, like posting maybe on Facebook, like, hey, you know, I'm interested in homeschooling. Does anybody know somebody that homeschools? Mm-hmm. That is one way to kind of get connected. Libraries, our local library, I give them my name and phone number. The librarians know me. And, you know, I've had people call me from the library, they got my name from the library, and they're like, hey, I hear you homeschool and I'm interested. The librarian, you know, shared your number with me. And that's one way, you know, to kind of find homeschool groups within your community. But I also think, don't be afraid to kind of try to start one of your own. You know, that's kind of how ours started, was just two or three moms, you know, who kind of started getting together. We all were like-minded. We all wanted the same thing for our kids. And out of that first little group, not everybody's even still homeschooling, but we were there for each other in the beginning. So I think that that's one way, you know, it's just one, don't be afraid to start something yourself in your community. And two, you know, kind of ask around, see if people know other people that homeschool, you know, ask your Facebook friends, ask people at your church. It really kind of surprises me. You know, one mom in our homeschool group found our homeschool group from my blog. She just messaged me, you're in Ohio, you know, where are you at? And I had kind of told her, and she said, well, you're only 20 minutes from me. There's a homeschool group in your community, in our community. I'm like, yeah. And she's like one of my best friends now.
Oh, wow.
Because I think that sometimes we kind of hold ourselves up. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't put ourselves out there because we're maybe afraid of not being accepted. We're maybe afraid of not finding other like-minded people. And so we don't try to find people to connect with, but that's lonely. Yep. Homeschool moms need homeschool friends for so many reasons. You know, getting together with homeschool groups can, you know, answer the socialization question that, you know, naysayers so often give. That's, you know, one of the reasons we started ours. Homeschool moms get other homeschool moms. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like texting somebody and being like, hey, I'm having a really hard day. Can you pray for me? And, you know, one, knowing that they're going to pray for you, but two, knowing that that mom on the other side of the county or wherever is, has been, or is going through the exact same thing that you're going through.
Yep.
Having people to pick their brain, you know, when your kids move into these different seasons, like high school, junior high, or special needs or diagnosis or just different things like that. It's so, so, so important not to isolate yourself and to just find that community. And there's online options out there. And I think that if that's all you can find, then those are great. But there is nothing like real life connection with other moms. You can't replace that with an online community. You can try all you want, but you can't replace the real life connections that you can make with other homeschool moms.
Yeah, I agree completely. That happened to me several years ago. I want to say Brooklyn was probably going into second grade, maybe first grade. And so we'd only been homeschooling for a short time. But I felt like I didn't have any real connection with any homeschool moms, but I knew of other homeschool moms mm-hmm. who were in our church and in our community. And so I think all of them actually at that time were in our church. And so I literally just, you know, I asked Garrett, I said, you know, do you mind if I just like kind of start a co-op? I mean, nothing big. It was like in our house. And he was like, yeah, do it. And so I reached out to, I think it was like four or five families. And I just said, hey, I just want to get together like once a week. And, you know, we ended up rotating houses and we became such good friends. Mm-hmm. And it was so interesting because after we all got together, every single one of them said how much they needed it and mm-hmm. they were desiring to have the same thing. And none of them had just, not that they wouldn't have, but none of them had acted on it. But they were praying for the same thing. They were praying for friendships, for not just themselves, but for their kids too, because obviously, you know, our kids need friends as well. And mm-hmm. so our kids grew to love each other. And for years, you know, we still are friends. You know, we ended up moving, of course, out of California. And I'm still friends with some of these moms, but it was just such a blessing to have mm-hmm. that little group. There were only a few of us, but we'd get together once a week and we just did life together and it was fun. And our kids did life together and it was fun, but we also learned. We did a whole thing on creation. And I remember a friend of mine had taught me this silly creation song with these silly motions. And so I taught it to the kids. And recently one of my friends said, she's like, you know, my kids still remember the creation song. And, you know, they're like teenagers now. But yeah, it is so very important. How, talk to the mom who, are you an introvert or an extrovert, Misty?
So it's kind of funny and I have control issues. So I am an extrovert. I'm outgoing if I'm in control of the situation. But if I'm not in control of the situation, then I kind of hunker down and am and not necessarily an introvert. So I don't really know what I am.
Okay.
I'm a hodgepodge. So you're anybody that knows me knows that I have control issues.
So you're an extra introvert.
I'm something.
I love it. Well, for the introvert, I know that this is especially hard for them. It's hard for those moms who really feel like they don't need people around them all the time. They just don't crave it. I'm an extrovert. I need to be around people. I need to have community. I need to be able to just talk through life. And you know, I'm not the one who wants to, I love reading, but I don't want to curl up on the couch and read a book all day long. That is just not me. But for the mom who is a true introvert, how would you encourage that mom to cultivate friendships and get involved?
Yeah, well, I think that it's important to remember that, you know, for the introverted mom, and I forget, is it Jamie Martin? Somebody has a book out there, the introverted homeschool mom. I can't remember who it is. But I think it's important to remember that just because you're an introvert doesn't necessarily mean that your kids are. And I think that sometimes we forget that as moms, that, you know, we think sometimes about what we need, but we don't always think about, well, of course we think about what our kids need, but you know what I'm trying to say? Mm-hmm. Right. Like, you know, we forget that our kids sometimes might need those connections outside of the home.
Right.
So I think that start small. Mm-hmm. I think that one thing, you know, whenever people hear start a homeschool group, mm-hmm. they think of our 80 person co-op.
Right.
Or 80 kid co-op. It did not start like that. Yeah. It literally started with just one or two moms getting mm-hmm. together, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. If you just start small, that's totally fine. And it can stay small. Like our group started with just three or four moms. And then we just got together once a month and did play dates. That was it. That's all we did for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And then we started offering art classes or field trips or different things like that. And then now that our kids are older, it's grown into this larger event. And there's a few introverted moms that kind of, when we started taking the group a different direction, they broke off and they kind of just stayed with, you know, their mm-hmm. two or three moms mm-hmm. that were also introverts. They kind of stayed and they're still doing those smaller things, those play groups, those smaller field trips. They didn't want to move into something big, and that's totally okay.
Right.
So I think that, you know, talk to your kids, ask mm-hmm. what your kids want. You know, do they want to get together with other kids and kind of meet friends and, you know, do those things? And start small, find that one person that maybe connects with mm-hmm. you. I don't think that an introvert and an outgoing mom together are going to always make the best thing, because I'm a lot. I mean, I can be a lot, and I have some introverted friends that are like, you know, they love me, but you know, they're not going to invite us over for dinner. Sometimes that sounds
I'll invite you over for dinner, Misty.
But I think find those like-minded connections and those like-minded people, and don't be afraid to kind of put yourself out there, because we do need that connection. Yep. God did not create us to do life alone.
That's
I'm
right.
sorry. I don't feel that he did. He wants us to commune with other people and to connect with other people.
Yeah, I think that's a great reminder. And it's absolutely true. Our kids need it as much as we do, sometimes more, especially if you are an introvert and your kids are not. But even if your kids are introverts, they need, we like you said, we are built for relationship. I mean, that's how God created us. And I will say, you know, there's the misconception that homeschoolers are, you know, socially awkward. They don't, they're unsocialized. But I think we have to be careful, because I think sometimes, I don't see it happen a lot, but I have seen it happen with moms who really, they crave being home. They only ever want to be home, and they don't feel like they have a need for other people outside of their home. And so they keep their kids at home all of the time. And I'm not one who, you know, I don't feel like I need to have something going on with my kids every day of the week, for sure. I mean, we really limit our activities. But I think we can create those socially awkward kids and where they don't really know how to interact with other people because we've not put them in those kinds of situations to be able to do that. And so I do think we need to be careful that we don't live up to that stereotype of socially awkward homeschool kids who don't know what to do or what to say. And so we have to kind of push ourselves sometimes to do the thing that's uncomfortable for the well-being of our children, but at the same time, be choosy in particular about who we are spending our time with. I actually have a really good friend of mine who recently, they've been part of a co-op in their area for quite some time. And they discovered some things about the co-op recently that they're just not real comfortable with. And so she and a few other moms just said, you know what, we're going to start our own co-op. And it, you know, wasn't to spite the other people. They just, again, it's going back to being like-minded. They just said, you know what, we really want the direction of our co-op to go this way. And this is what we think is best for our families. So they broke off from the other one and they started they're starting their own brand new this year. And we can do that. We have the freedom to do that because we're homeschoolers, and do it with your kids. I mean, how great of an opportunity is it to teach our kids how to organize something like that? You know, that's the beauty of homeschooling. That's entrepreneurship, really. You know, we're teaching them how to organize a group of people and come together and make it all work and work together as a group. And that's a great lesson for our kids.
Yeah. And that's something like we did this year too. I think that, again, whenever you think here homeschool group and homeschool community, you think it has to be this big thing. You know, we got together with two other families this year. In addition to our co-op, we were all using Knotgrass History. Mm. And so we got together once a month and did history projects, and our kids loved it. And one of the moms was not a part of our co-op, but she used this history program, and we got together and did that, just three families. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, going back to that like-minded thing, there's going to be people that you have connections with. And, you know, even if you see this mom that's part of this larger co-op that you are introverted and you maybe don't feel comfortable moving into that situation, talk to her one-on-one and just say, hey, you know, our kids are the same age. Hey, we both like XYZ. Would you like to get together, you know, and just do a play date and kind of make the connection that way? Don't feel overwhelmed. I think it's easy to feel overwhelmed, especially with, I mean, this is, could be a whole other topic, when you get into homeschool group cliques and, you know, maybe feeling like you don't fit in because you're secular and that homeschool is Christian, or, you know, you go to a different denomination church than maybe where this church meets, and you feel that there's barriers up there. You can find like-minded people in smaller groups, anytime. I mean, if you look for it. But also don't feel afraid to put those walls and barriers up that maybe don't exist, that you just feel like they exist, if that makes sense.
Sure.
You know, don't be afraid to kind of try to make those connections.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. Well, we are out of time. You have been such an encouragement again, Misty. Thank you so much for your wisdom and for just the passion that you have to encourage homeschool families and homeschool moms. Tell us again where people can find out more about you.
Yeah. So you can go to my podcast, joyfullyhomeschooling.com, and I would love to connect with you there.
All right. And we will link those in the show notes as always, so you guys can find out more about Misty. And thank you guys again for listening. Thank you for being part of the Schoolhouse Rocked ministry. We would love it if you would consider financial support in any way. And one of the best ways that you can support us financially, which actually you get something in return, if you have not yet signed up for the Homegrown Generation Family Expo. Misty was actually on one of our panels during that week, and people think, oh, the expo is over. Well, it's over, but you can still sign up and watch the entire expo. There are, I don't know, there's over 35 hours. There's probably at this point over 40 hours, which sounds overwhelming, but don't watch them all at one time or listen to everything at one time. You can pick and choose what speakers you might want to listen to, what sessions you might want to listen to. It's all organized, and there are some amazing sessions on there that will really encourage you in your homeschool journey. And so that is a great way to support the ministry of Schoolhouse Rocked. It's $20. You can still sign up for that. You can sign up anytime, and you'll have lifetime access to be able to have access to this online conference that we did. And I'm telling you, lives were changed when we did it live, and it's still just as good to go back and re-listen. We were so encouraged in what God did that week and how he just opened up people's eyes to homeschooling, and not just to homeschooling, but to family and God's design for family. So you can learn more about that at homegrowngeneration.com or, of course, schoolhouserocked.com. And if you just want to support, just offer financial support, you can do that also at schoolhouserocked.com, and scroll down, you'll see the donate here button, and you can donate through there. It's a tax deductible donation, but we would love that. God is doing big things through the Schoolhouse Rocked ministry, and we are only able to do that through people like yourselves. So thank you for being part of it with us. Thank you for listening today. We hope it has been a blessing to you. And Misty, thank you again for joining me today. You are such a joy and a blessing. I love getting to hang out with you.
Yes, me too, friend. Bye, everybody.
All right. See you guys. Bye.